This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We have got some great results.
The main event this weekend was the National Swiss Pairs in Wellington, run expertly by the Wellington Bridge Club as usual, apparently. 50 pairs or 25 tables took part, and the winners were Blair and Liz Fisher from Hamilton by, quite imagine, 14 VPs in the finish.
Right. Well done.
Second, third, and fourth were a lot closer. There was only 1.7 VPs between second and fourth. Matthew McManus and Michael Ware just managed to grab second from Peter Newell and Martin Reed, and Harry Shepherd and Greg Buzzard were an unlucky fourth, just a fraction behind.
Hamilton hosted the intermediate and the junior pairs on the weekend. We had 104 bridge players in our bridge club. It was pretty good. The intermediate pairs was won by Michelle Little and Matthew Chestnut from Matter Matter and Cambridge clubs. And Matthew is an up-and-coming youth player, so that was very cool. And Hamilton pair Duncan White and Elaine Rayner was second.
Do you know how old Matthew is?
No.
Okay, that's all right. So in the juniors, the winners were Amy Sue and Annette Downey from Hamilton. They scored 71 and 67, Mariana. The gin man is going to be impressed by that when he sees it.
Yeah.
And second were Wilma Zedek and Deirdre Freed from Matter Matter. They scored 59 and 63, pretty good scores, but that's a long way behind the winners. Score.
The Howick Open was 5A that was on. Richard Solomon and Jonathan Westby won that. Steve Bowie and Andrew Talbot were runner-up. And Judge Julie and the bailiff came in sixth. And told me the people that came in eighth recently got married, Barry.
Who was that?
Alice Young and George Sun.
Oh, well done to Alice and George.
Yep.
I didn't mean for coming eighth.
Congratulations to you too.
Congratulations. So this week what we've got coming up is they've got the Kelly Pierce teams at Rotorua, which is a 10A in memoriam of Kelly Pierce. I remember Kelly. She was longtime secretary of the Waikato Bays Centre back in the day. From Rotorua she was. Really great. They've named this after and it's been running for some years now. Kelly Pierce. I see that Auckland are running their trials on the Friday, if they have any, for the regional championships.
For the regional champs, right.
And also Wellington holding their trials that weekend, if they have them. RA have a 5A teams on. Masterton have got a 5A pairs on. Well, there's a lot on, isn't there? Mount Albert have got an intermediate and a junior, and they're both booked out.
That's awesome. I got a message from a friend saying that they were looking at booking their accommodation for Congress. It's only March, Barry. Have you guys sorted your accommodation for Congress in Palmy?
That's not my department. I'm saying if we can get the house we got last year, we'll have that. It was great.
So actually, we have already got our accommodation as well. I guess if you aren't thinking about that now, it might get a little bit more expensive if the months keep ticking by. I reckon people will start ramming up the costs.
I guess it will. I hope the price of petrol drops a bit before we get to November.
Yeah.
So are you all geared up for Thursday night? Ready to go?
What's Thursday night?
For sake, do I have to tell you everything? The Hamilton Bridge Club are starting their lessons this week. Mariana's doing the... is it not Thursday night? Is it Thursday afternoon?
It's Thursday morning, so I don't know what morning planet you're on.
Thursday morning. How many do you think you're going to have?
Well, I got my list today, and I've got 29.
29? And how many on the Tuesday? They've got about a 40, have they, or something?
They have 41. Well, we did get 75, but that's come down a little bit now after the ringing through.
So I know they had 75, but they might have lost a few, but they also picked up one or two as well.
But I'll tell you something. I was at a function in Pyrrhul the other weekend. We were at the Ohinamuri Club, and I noticed that they had a sign up behind the bar that said they have a 500 session every Thursday. And as we were leaving, I just went up to the bar and I was like, how many people do you get to that 500 game? And they said, oh, we get about 12, sometimes 16. And I said, I wonder if you could do me a favor and ask them if they've ever heard of the card game Bridge. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll put it to the committee. And I left my name and number, Barry. And I said, ask them to give me a call if they're interested. Well, this afternoon, I got a call and they said, yes, they'd be interested in me coming along and talking to them and showing them about Bridge. So we've got a date, we've got a time, April the 15th, 1 p.m. I'll be going to the Ohinemuri Club in Pyrrol and I'll be playing some mini Bridge and seeing if that could spark them. And she said, how often would you be in Pyrrol? And I say, I go once a fortnight. And she said, oh, if things take off, maybe we could play bridge once a fortnight. And I was thinking, oh, probably doesn't work that way, but why wouldn't it work? I mean, playing fortnightly is better than none.
I can tell you, back in the 90s, when I was living in Te Araha and a member of the Te Araha Bridge Club, there was a Pyrrha Bridge Club back in those days. They had their own club rooms, and they were a reasonably strong club. They had quite a few members, and unfortunately, they've fallen by the wayside, so there's no longer a Pyrrha Bridge Club. Maybe it could be revived.
Actually, somebody did say that there was, and I understand they played up at Scout Hall, I think. I'm not too sure if that was right.
I've been there. I've played bridge in Pyrrha. Te Araha and Pyrrha used to play together a bit, and they used to have a tournament. I think I've played in their tournament there.
So, did
So,
you come over the bridge and drive straight ahead past the mobile?
30 years ago here, I can't remember what they had for breakfast.
You were just spitting out facts that there was a Pyrrol Bridge Club. You remember that? And you
I
played
do.
there
And I
at
remember
the
playing there, and I can remember that it was grey, the building that they were in, but that's about it. Bill Stewart and Alan Mace used to play there. I think Alan Barclay, back in the day, his mother used to play there. I'm just trying to remember a few of the other members. They had a few. They were keen.
Well,
So a bit of a
we might
shame that the
relive it
Pyrrha Bridge
again.
Club is no more, but hey, maybe this is the way back.
Could be. We're raising the awareness of Bridge. So I shared that at our committee meeting that Hamilton had this afternoon, and really good numbers for the lessons. Studying the lesson booklet like nothing.
You better know what you're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, because it is slightly changed the format. The new
Okay.
books look amazing. That's really good. Well done to the Teaching and Learning Committee. E whai ake nei. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates, and novices, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Good morning, Ross. How are you going today?
Well, thank you, Mariana, very well.
How many Ks did you travel on the weekend?
Hamilton and back, so that's about 3 hours.
I was just thinking about A's to Ks. Managed to bump into Ross at the Hamilton Intermediate. How'd you
Yes,
find it?
it was good. A really nice tournament, thank you. Nicely organized, and it was quite a rare thing because you, Barry, and I were at the same venue on the same day. We forgot to take a photo for Facebook page.
Yeah, we
I
were
know
all
you.
too busy. Yeah,
We were.
congratulations, you're a session prize winner.
Yeah, we had a nice tournament. It was lovely down there. Well, just one comment. I know you've gone through the results. Just a comment, Michelle and Matthew, who won the tournament. Did you realize that Matthew was actually a junior player, not an intermediate? So that's a pretty creditable result from him.
That's an amazing result. Yeah, no, I didn't. Congratulations, junior.
Yeah, well
Taken out
done.
an intermediate tournament.
That's not easy to do. There are other tournaments on for the Gin Club members over the weekend at Capimana. There was Capimana Juniors on, and that was won by Victoria Lidicote and Kay Matheson. And Victoria is a certificate of proficiency level only, so that's a great job from here, from Palmerston North, and Kay's from Paraparaumu. The Kerikeri Restricted was interesting. The winner of that was Gail Macbeth and Caroline Nicholas, both from Paihia. Now, they are both intermediate players. Two II players win the Kerikeri Restricted.
That's great.
Which go the Gin Club members.
Yeah.
And top junior there was Roxanne Kelly and Karina Henderson, both from Dargaville. A little side snippet, the top individual junior player was Claire Gordon from Kerikeri. She was playing with Sue Hunt. She was playing only her first tournament, and she's only been playing 18 months, and she was the best junior in the room on the day, which is really, really nice. That's what we want to encourage.
Amazing.
That sort of results. Yeah.
Very cool.
Now, those are the tournaments. Now, other than that, I've got the monthly statistics from New Zealand Bridge via Jack James. Things haven't changed a lot. Alexander Meyer is top in the intermediate with Emma Fitzgerald second. It's a close fifth from Catherine Gabbates from New Plymouth. And I know that she's won two tournaments this year already, so she's doing very, very well.
Yes.
In the junior area, Ellie Malloy from Wellington is top. This is just after 2 months with Costantina. We call him Costi anyway. Costi from Arriva is second. And third is Grace Wang. Now, Grace Wang is from Rotorua. She's third. She's got 8 A points this year, and she's a third former.
Grace was part of the youth crew that went to Canberra, so she would have had a ball over there. I think she's 13. Well done, her.
I met her first time in Tarong as she was playing with Marcus
Dudley. Yep, that'll be right.
And then she was at Rotorua the other week as well. In the certificate of proficiency, Corbin Titters from Taradale is top. And in the novice section, Royson Dyer is top. Now, just as a little aside, Jack has done a further analysis of the ranking lists in February, and he says that of all the ranking reports, setting aside Goldmaster Plus, there is a youth player or two in the top two positions. That is a fantastic momentum. You want to know who they are? Shall we start from the bottom or the top?
Let's go top.
Okay, top. In the Silver Grandmaster, Jack James, he puts in brackets, he's the oldest of the group. In the Grandmaster, Leon Meyer. In the Life Master, Tim Pan. In the National Master, Marcus Dudley. Now, these are either first or second, right in their group.
Yep.
In the Master, Tamati Gregg. In the Provincial Master, Jesse Pellinato. In the Local Master, Alex Meyer and Emma Fitzgerald are both youth players, one and two. Clubmaster Ellie Malloy is youth, and certificates proficiency, Robin Titter is youth. He was top. And in the novice, Royson Dyer is top.
So isn't youth that a is wonderful looking okay.
Cross-fiction? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go the youth of New Zealand. Don't know what it says for old people like me, but never mind. One other snippet of information. Just this weekend, Mariana, a milestone for Bill Leach, the old gentleman of the intermediate section, achieved the goal of 1,350 B points.
1,350 B points. Really? What does that do for him?
Nothing. Just an interesting statistic you could put in your bag.
That's a lot of B points, isn't it?
A lot of B points, eh? Yeah. Don't think many people accumulate that many B points and not go to open, really. He's very happy. Loves his bridge, so.
That's a cool stat, all right.
I think it is, yeah. Probably never be achieved again by anybody, I don't think. Hey, Mariana, I wonder if Gin Club members actually are getting the Friday Gin Club hand from New Zealand Bridge. Richard Solomon does a lovely job of writing a hand that's not too unapproachable by Gin Club members.
Yep.
Some of the ones he does during the week are so complex, like I can't even follow them. But the Friday one is great. And all Gin Club members should be doing two things for their bridge every week. One is listening to us on Wednesday. And two, reading through Richard's Gin Club hand on Friday.
The tip this week is go to New Zealand Bridge. Go into MyNZB, register and get a log on, and then that will then allow you to choose what information will get emailed directly to you. And also it enables you to enter and keep a check on what tournaments you've been entered in as well. So it's got multiple purposes. Really good thing to have. So, Ginny's, send in an email if you've got any questions. bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. All right, where are you heading this weekend, Ross? What tournament you planning?
We're going to Whangarei on Saturday for a teams event, then to Mount Albert on Sunday for the Mount Albert Intermediate.
Oh, so cool.
That'll be fun.
Catch up with us next week.
As always, we will carry our motto with us, respect all, fear none.
Have a great week.
Thank you. Same to you.
Coming up next, Peter Hollins, professional Australian bridge player who has his own website. Check it out, bridgevid.com, or look him up on YouTube, Bridge with Pete.
So when should you finesse and when should you actually play for the drop? There is a common saying which is 8 ever, 9 never. Which tells you when you should finesse when you've got an 8-card fit and when you should play for the drop with a 9-card fit. But we can actually expand this more than actually that two holdings. So what 8 ever and 9 never talks about is when you've got an 8-card fit missing the queen, what you want to do is actually play for queen of spades to be finesseable. So you definitely want to take a finesse here and hope that you can pick up the queen of spades. This is your best chance of picking up the suit. When you have a 9-card fit, though, missing the queen, it's better to actually play for the queen to drop. Now, it's important that it's the queen that we're missing. So here, what we want to do is just play out the two top spades and hope that the queen drops. This will work 52% of the time. So it's only slightly better than a finesse. So 9-never is a bit of an overreach. So if you've got nothing else to go on, absolutely play for the queen to drop. But you can gather information about the hand to change that. We can also extend this out to when we've got 10 or 11 cards and also 6 or 7. When you've actually got 10 cards or 11 cards, you can work out whether you should finesse or drop, but you have to change which honor you're actually talking about. It's no longer the queen that we're talking about. The king is the important card where it switches between the two. Now, when you've got 10 cards missing the king, you actually want to play for the finesse. When you've got 11, you want to play for the drop. So when we go upper range, you want to finesse with 10 and you want to play for the drop with 11. So when you've got those even amounts, you finesse, and when you've got the odd amounts, you play for the drop. But we had to change which honor we're talking about. So here with 11 between us, we want to play the ace and just hope that king drops. When you've only got 7 cards or 6 cards, it's no longer the king or queen we're talking about, but it's the jack that actually matters. So here, with 7 cards missing the jack, we want to play for the jack to drop. If we ever had an honor higher that we were missing, so let's say we were missing the king or queen, it would absolutely be that you would finesse. Or if we were up around 10 or 11 cards and we were missing in the queen or jack, that would always be drop. So if you make the honor lower than what I'm talking about, it's drop. If you make the honor higher than what I'm talking about, it's finesse. But finally, here with 6 cards missing the jack, what we'd want to actually do is finesse the jack here. And these are the best percentage chances to actually get all those tricks in those different suits.
To check out the cards that he was talking about, click on Peter Hollins on YouTube. Then select his shorts tab, and it's when to finesse or play for the drop. Hope you enjoyed his tips. Ko tana te ate Julie e muri mai. It's Judge Julie next.
Hear ye, the court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge.
Hello and good morning, Judge Julie.
Morning.
I was directing at the club because Mariana made me again on Tuesday. And this lady opened the bidding. Well, she passed, actually. And that would have been fine, except it wasn't her turn to bid. In fact, it was her partner who was the dealer. So I looked at the book and looked to me like her partner was still allowed to do whatever she wanted to do. But it was going to get a bit trickier when it got back. Sorry, I did not say the name. When it got back to her and she was going to have to make a bid, you know, what's comparable to a pass? I thought, oh, God, this is a bit technical for me. I'm just a baby director. So anyway, it went one club from her partner, passed to the person who'd passed originally. I'd explained, you know, that her partner may not be able to make another bid. And so she guessed, she had about a 9 count or something, and she guessed bond 3 no trumps, as you do sometimes in these sort of things. What is the situation there, really? How does she get on? She actually had four spades and four diamonds.
Okay, so if partner's opened, if the pass out of turn isn't accepted and her partner has opened the bidding and it comes round to her, she's got to make a bid that is comparable. Now, comparable will be a similar meaning or a more precise meaning. And if she bids one diamond or one spade, normally if it went one whatever from her partner, one club presumably from her partner, if she could bid diamonds or whatever it was, pass, if you bid one of a suit, your hand is unlimited. So it is not more precise. It is not a similar meaning. So if she bids one diamond or one spade, which is six plus, the plus means it's not a comparable call. Showing the suit is a bit more precise than showing nothing at all. But the fact is that the range of the bid is way more than what they know about the hand. So that would not be comparable. A one no trump call would be comparable. It would be 6-9. It would be perfect. A raise to two of partner's suit, or maybe even a raise to three of partner's suit, though that's getting in a bit of stuff there, but that might be okay as well. When you're on the borderlines of comparable, you can let the auction continue and come back later and fix it. If people bid to a contract, they couldn't have otherwise bid, little bits and pieces like that. But certainly raising partner's suit to the two level would be comparable because it would be more limiting, more precise, than the original pass would have been. A Bergen bid would be comparable because it limits the hand to being less than an opening hand and whatever they are. So there are quite a few things you can bid that are okay, but then there are other ones where your hand is unlimited or it's stronger than what you could possibly have because of the pass out of rotation, where the meaning is not comparable or may not be considered comparable.
So despite the fact they have a 4-4 spade fit on this hand, they can probably never find it. Well, it's very hard.
Yeah, one spade is not comparable. I mean, you can bid one spade, but then your partner's got to pass their turn to call, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Partner must pass when next it's their turn to call, and then there are other things that may come into play. At the beginning, you can take that risk of just bidding one spade and seeing what happens. But sometimes when your partner got barred from the auction, you shut your eyes and you bid three no trump. So it is a similar situation to that. And I mean, you just don't know what's right or wrong. So you're taking a stab in the dark because any bid you think it would be right to make, partner's going to have to pass, and that could be the end of the auction.
So, okay, on the actual hand, of course, after she did guess to bid three no trumps,
yep.
That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end because the lady on her left, who's only learnt maybe last year, had 24 points. And I mean, I'm sure our listeners will be adding up here, wondering how that could be. Well, you need to come along and play on a Tuesday afternoon in Hamilton is all I can say.
And now we're going to be queuing, are we?
Actually, amazingly enough, this hand with 9-7 could make one no trump. And North-South, who had 24, couldn't.
Yes,
points aren't everything.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to know why the dealer actually opened.
Yeah. Oh, I think we'd all like to know that.
And there is a law, 16C2, which applies in this situation, where they perhaps had information that they were not allowed to use, or having dealt with various people on various sessions that I run, where people have 7-card club suits and 7 points that they open at the one level. Maybe they are just an inexperienced player and they've made a bid that they thought was right and possibly wasn't.
Okay. They paid the price anyway, eventually. If you've ever found the opponents have had a bid each and got to three no trumps and you've got a 24 count, well, you know, let us know.
Oh, no.
Never happened to me.
Even if they played the rule of 20, the dealer could have had 10, 9 with partner, and a 24 count. There's so many points on that blooming table.
There's 43, which is a bit impossible. Yeah, somebody might have had a hand from the previous board or something like that.
I did have somebody open against me with a 7 count when they were 6-6 the other day. So, you know, it could happen, I suppose.
Yeah. There are hands that are very distributional, and there are inexperienced players that do things that they shouldn't do. And then there's other things as well.
Tell you what, there are experienced players who do things they shouldn't do.
That hand brings back memories of Thames. It was a weird-looking hand there.
Oh, right.
Okay, well, thank you, Judge Julie.
I just want to say that some people would say that Judge Julie has done things she shouldn't do as well.
Me? When?
I'll ask the bailiff next time we're speaking with him.
You have a good week.
Thank you, yep, Judge Julie. Thank you for appearing in the middle of the night. We do appreciate you.
No problem at all. Have a good night.
Barry and Jenny played at the New Plymouth Congress the other weekend, and I asked him this question. What was the biggest score you posted on the weekend?
We put a couple of slams.
That's good.
We got doubled in something that made, and we doubled somebody. I think they went for a big number, about 500 or something. We got 790. I got doubled in a part score. That was 670.
Ooh.
So there were some quite good scores. In the out column, somebody bit a grand slam against us, 7 no trumps, and they had 13 tricks on top. That wasn't good for us. Well, now it's a team's event, Mariana, so all that matters is whether your teammates bid it or not, and they bid the small slam, but not the big one.
Right, okay.
Funny thing, you sort of think those are exciting hands, don't you? And I suppose they are, and they bid to 7 no trumps, and I led the 10 of clubs and declare a claim to trick one because he had 13 tricks. So that's your play of the hand. You've got 13 tricks on top. I think he ended up with about 15 tricks that he could have taken.
So, people, if you're playing at the Kelly Piers, remember to go nice and early. You might get into some roadworks.
And if you've got a movement for 29 bridge players, send it to Mariana. bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
We've also got our concert that's heading off to next week. It's your last chance to enter. So
I see we've had some entries for it.
That's about it from us both. So if you're playing bridge, all the best with that, and I shall see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.